Good morning.
It's nice to see each and every one of you this morning. I was feeding the kids breakfast in the kitchen. Weston was in his high chair, and Ellie was over at the table and made some omelets. And Macy walks in, and she says, "Weston's outfit's on the changing table in his room. Ellie's outfit is on her dresser in her room, and I can set your outfit for you too out if you want." So, no, I know what you want me to wear, so I've got a tie. I always whine about it every time I get up here, but I feel like I'm far enough away from her now that I can whine and get away with it. But it's always good to be here with you this morning. Always enjoy the chance to be able to stand before you and share some of my thoughts on God's Word. This morning, I am reminded of a Christian man who is an avid rock climber. You know, you see these guys that do rock climbing; they do the free climbing with no gear on, I guess, to keep them from falling. And this man, he climbed cliffs. He climbed these huge boulders with no harness of any sort. I guess you could say he was some sort of an adrenaline junkie. This man loved the thrill of perfection. If he made one wrong move, he would fall to his death. Loved the thrill of perfection, and he really trusted his ability as a climber. And one day, he was climbing on this cliff. He was reaching the top. This would have been his greatest climb ever. He was way above the ground, and he loses his footing, and he slips, and he falls. As he falls backwards, he grabs a hold of a small branch hanging out of a crevice. As he hung there trying to figure out what to do, where to put his feet, he heard a voice from above him that said, "Have faith, let go of the branch, and I will save you." And the man pauses for a second, and he yells to the top, "Is there someone else I could talk to up there?" Sometimes it's really hard to be faithful, isn't it? Many times I relate to the climber in this story, in that I can find myself looking for ways to do things myself and not fully rely on God. So this presents to me a couple of questions this morning. First one being, how can we as Christians learn to have a stronger faith? And secondly, how is our faith evident in this world? This morning I want to focus the lesson around these two questions as we look to be a more spiritual people. And I've kind of come up with 3 points. It wouldn't be a lesson without 3 points. I've come up with 3 points this morning to help us to be more faithful and look to be more faithful and make our faith more evident in this world. First point being, look to past examples. We need to look to past examples to help us learn how to be more faithful. Second thought this morning is going to be, it's not all about me. It's not all about us. And my third thought this morning will be, faith will bring about works and obedience. So those will be the three things that we're going to focus on this morning. Point number one, the point being, we should look to past examples of faithful people. You know, I think I'd be crazy if I didn't mention Hebrews chapter 11 in this sermon. It's really filled with great examples of faithful people. You know, we call it the Hall of Fame of faith. It's a great chapter to look to. I think one could do a sermon on faith without specifically basing it out of Hebrews 11, but in my study I just couldn't leave it, and I couldn't avoid the fact that Hebrews 11, as well as if you look in chapters 10 and 12, which we'll get there here later on, they provide some amazing insight to the faith that we should have. If you have your Bibles here this morning, I challenge you to flip along with me as we go. We're gonna open up in Hebrews chapter 11. This will kind of be our starting point from text in the Scripture as we kind of build out this first point and draw some application from God's Word specifically focused around our faith. Bear with me. I'd like to go ahead and read this whole chapter. I think we can get a good idea of what's going on if we just read the whole thing. Starting in verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 11. "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what we see was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, although he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. Forever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many of the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac shall your offspring be named." He considered that God was even able to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw the child was beautiful, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us they should not be made perfect. So here in Hebrews chapter 11, we see these great people of faith. We can see Abel offers an acceptable sacrifice to God. If you want to read about it, you can go read it in Genesis chapter 4. Noah builds an ark on dry ground and survived the flood. You can read that in chapter 6 through 8 of Genesis. Abraham, he was called to leave his home not knowing where he was to go. I can't imagine leaving my house today not knowing where I was going. You can read that in Genesis 12. And he was even called to sacrifice his son. You can read that in Genesis 22. Moses and the people crossed the Red Sea on dry ground in Exodus chapter 14. And this is just the start to the many faithful examples that we can read about in the Bible. You know, I could talk about 75% of the Bible and use it in some form or fashion in this lesson. There are just so many ways that we can learn to be faithful from the stories that we can read about. One of my personal favorite stories of faith comes from Daniel chapter 3. This is a story of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Or we also know them according to Daniel chapter 1 verse 7 as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now at this point in time, King Nebuchadnezzar erects a golden image and demands that everyone bow down before it when music plays. So I want to pick up in Daniel chapter 3 verses 8 through 30. Daniel chapter 3, starting in verse 8. It says, "Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and maliciously accused the Jews. They declared to King Nebuchadnezzar, 'O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, pay no attention to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up.' Then Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to them, 'Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now if you are ready when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music to fall down and worship the image that I have made, well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast in the burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands?' Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up.' Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury, and the expression of his face changed against Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. He ordered the furnace heated seven times more than it was usually heated, and he ordered some of the mighty men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their cloaks, their tunics, their hats, and their other garments, and they were thrown into the fiery, burning fiery furnace. Because the king's order was urgent, and the furnace was overheated, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up in haste. He declared to his counselors, 'Did we not cast three men bound into the fire?' They answered and said to the king, 'True, O king.' He answered and said, 'But I see four unbound walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the appearance of the fourth is like the son of the gods.' Then Nebuchadnezzar came near the door of the burning fiery furnace. He declared, 'Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here.' Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out from the fire. And the satraps, the prefects, the governors, and the king's counselors gathered together and saw that the fire had not had any power over the bodies of those men. The hair on their heads was not singed. Their cloaks were not harmed. No smell of fire had come upon them. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, 'Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants, who trusted in Him and set aside the king's command and yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make it a decree. Any people, nation, or language that speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb, and their houses laid in ruins, and there is no other God who is able to rescue in this way. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. So probably a pretty familiar story to you. And here these three men did something very extraordinary. They went against what was the status quo. How many times do we get caught up doing what society says to do? And I believe that many people do what the world demands at the expense of their own faith. But what I find is to be so interesting in this story here is that Daniel is the fact that these three men, in their faith, brought others to see the glory of God. You know, this short story of these three men shows us that living by faith is better than any physical thing that the world could throw at us. And it's so important for us to look at the past, to look at these numerous Bible stories, to learn how to be a more faithful people. And we can see so many things and we can learn so many things from these people that can help us tremendously in our walk. Second point this morning, it's not all about me. You know, I believe that many times we get so caught up in ourselves that we dampen our faith in God. You know, when we think about things such as wealth, think about our friends, think about our jobs, you know, think about the American dream that we live, can cause us to put our faith in other things. You know, I get caught up many times putting my faith in our finances and making more money. Jesus says in Luke 18, verses 24 and 25, how difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Now, I know that that's a pretty specific example that's focused on monetary gains. And I'm not saying that us being blessed and having financial gain is bad, but I just want it to be known that many things in this world draw our faith away from the Lord. And we see many times where God despises the worship of idols. We see throughout the Bible in places like Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 1, it says, "You shall not make for yourselves idols, nor shall you set up for yourselves an image or a sacred pillar, nor shall you place a figured stone in your land and bow to it, for I am the Lord your God." In my opinion, one of the craziest examples of people relying on themselves and putting their faith in things of this world comes from Exodus chapter 32. This is where we see the Israelites erect the golden calf. Now, looking back a few chapters, if we kind of get some context here for a little bit of a paraphrase recap, we see that the people arrive at Sinai, at Mount Sinai, about, really, as far as I can tell from Exodus 19, verse 1, 3 months after they came out of the land of Egypt. Now, from here, we eventually see God descend on Mount Sinai, and what we see there is truly a terrifying sight. If we look at Exodus chapter 19, starting in verse 16, it says, "On the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp trembled. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. The smoke went up like the smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. As the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him in thunder. The Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up." So we know that Moses makes more than one trip up and down the mountain. We can see that in verse 25 of chapter 19 and verse 1 of chapter 24 of Exodus. But later on, specifically when we get to to chapter 32, we see that the laws that God is laying out, after we see that these laws are laid out to Moses upon the mountain, the people come to Aaron and make a golden calf for themselves. Now, this is just a crazy story to me that blows my mind, because these people, who saw the plagues of Egypt, who saw the Red Sea split in two, who were led by God out of Egypt, lose their faith in Him. Why would you put up a golden calf when the Lord God is on the mountain that you're encamped by? Doesn't make any sense. God in His power has caused these people to tremble in fright before Him, but they still manage to take it upon themselves and put their faith in what they want to. Now, I'm not even talking about years worth of time here. This took place very quickly. If you look at Exodus 32, verse 8, it says it was very quickly after they watched Him descend with thunder and lightning on Mount Sinai and after they had left Egypt. We can see that God wants to utterly consume them for this. And if it weren't for Moses, He probably would have utterly destroyed them. But even as crazy as this story is, I see how easy it is for us to put our faith in the world. Many times God may be right there in front of us in all of His glory, but we fail to have a faith in Him. No, it's not all about us. It's not all about me, because it's easy for me to point finger at the Israelites, but I still manage to take it upon myself to put faith in this world. And faith in this world is a pretty sorry life to live. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." In our walk of faith, it's so important to remember that Jesus is the founder and perfecter of our faith. And there are many times when we lose sight of that and make it all about us, when the reality is that Jesus does it for us. We need to look to Him as one who takes it upon Himself to be the founder and perfecter of our faith. And let us recognize that if you have faith like a grain of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. So we as humans, we can't do great things ourselves. We might do good physical things on this earth, but we can't do great things ourselves. But one thing I know that we can do, is we can do great things through the Lord, because Jesus is the founder and perfecter of our faith, and it's not about us. Lastly, our faith should bring about works and obedience to God. As we continue to try and work on our faith, I believe that there are many things that should be present in our life showing us that we are truly living by faith. For example, now I believe firmly that we should see the fruits of the Spirit active in our lives. Now, Galatians chapter 5, we see love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. True faith brings about obedience in our lives. If we look at Matthew chapter 7, look back towards the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' Then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" So this passage indicates to me that many people think that they know the Lord, but they actually don't. Maybe you went to church but lived a terrible life during the week. Maybe these people know of God but don't obey His commands. Or maybe these people just simply don't have a strong enough faith in Him that they don't walk in a manner worthy of our calling. And read that in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I believe that faith should drive us to avoid works of lawlessness. We're called to be an obedient people. So look at James chapter 2. James chapter 2 and verse 14 says, What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and filled,' without giving them the things that they need for the body, what good is that? So also by faith itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your mere works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see, that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by her works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. So in this passage, we see obviously that our true faith results in our obedience. It results in works. How on earth can we say that we are strong people of faith if our works are subpar or just okay? As people who want and need to live by faith, we have to be workers in God's kingdom. And that's not a thing that's burdensome. And I believe that a person who says they have faith but does not have works is really walking a tight line of being condemned. And I can't stress to you enough the importance of living by faith in our actions, in our relationships, in our days with non-believers, in our whole life. We must be driven to obedience, to be actively working for Him. Isn't it funny? I find it funny how when my faith feels weak, we see oftentimes a reduction of love. We see a reduction of joy, peace, patience, so on. If we look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19, it says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain, that is through His flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful." So as I begin to kind of wrap up this morning, I really pray and hope that each of us would leave here knowing that we need to hold fast to the Word of God. I know it's something many of you know. There's so much more that I could talk about for the sake of time, not going to, but the Bible, I believe, is very clear on the one in whom we should put our faith in. You know, sometimes our faith may be put in the world. Sometimes we may not look diligently at the examples that we have in the Bible laid out before us. Maybe we aren't seeing many works in our lives. You know, we are human, and I do get that all of us fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. But one thing remains the same. "Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand." It's Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. Let us remember this morning that the Lord is God, and the life we walk on this earth dictates our life eternally. Let us, without a doubt, live this life as a faithful and obedient worker in God's kingdom. I always like to offer an invitation. You may be here this morning, not as a Christian, or maybe as someone who is searching. I can tell you right now, there's nothing greater than being a child of God. There's nothing greater than having a God that we can put our faith in. Those of us here who are Christians know that we have an eternal inheritance in heaven. If you have not been baptized, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Romans 6 verse 5 says, "For if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His." 1 John 3 verse 10 says, "By this," this meaning not sinning, "by this it is evident who are children of God and who are children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother." So here we can see that those who are not of God, those who do not have faith in Him, those who do not love Him, those who are not obedient, are not considered children of His. If you've not yet been baptized, I encourage you to do so immediately, because one day, we don't know when that day is, the Lord is going to return, and I want to see so badly each of us as faithful children of God, not as children of evil. To become a child of God, you must be baptized and you must live a faithful life to God. You know, there may be someone's here this morning that's struggling with their faith. I know there's been times in my life I have sure done so. If you are, we'd love to pray with you, love to visit with you. Whatever it is, we know that we should always have a stronger faith. If you have any need whatsoever, please come as we stand and sing together.